people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
Man, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. We are so glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. Oh. If you're visiting with us, we want to make you feel welcome. We want you to feel at home. There is maybe some donuts left over there, but there's juice and there's coffee, and just we want you to help yourself. Hey, Justin. That's my brother-in-law. I can do that. But again, we're so glad that you're here. In a minute, you're going to see a tablet, I guess that's the best word for it, be passed around. We want you to let us know that you are here so we can pray for you. If you have certain needs that you would like the staff to pray for you, you can list those in there. But most of all, just be sure and fill your name in. Let us know that you are here. A couple of announcements. Vacation Bible School is coming up, and you can actually register for that on our website, and we want to invite you to do that. Also, our denominational conference, our annual conference, is going on right now. And so, like I said last week, we really want to be in special prayer for this conference. Because anytime the leaders of a denomination come together and start making decisions for the different congregations, it is so important that they let God lead them. And so we want to pray for God's leadership and for His will, and His will alone to be done in these meetings. So, again, we're so glad that you're here. I want to invite Reverend Nathan to come forward now.
It's always a joy that we have opportunity to worship God. And when you begin to think about the Christian life doesn't begin in our efforts. It doesn't begin in our ability, but rather it begins in God's grace. And today we have an opportunity to remember that and to experience that as the Alley family come forward. Mindy and Justin Alley are bringing forward their child, Eason Edward Breck Alley, to be baptized this morning. And it is a reminder to us as Christians that we enter into the Christian life because God first reaches out to us. Even before we know or realize who God is reaching out to us. So I invite the family to come forward, and our service of baptism will be before you on the screens. There'll be parts for the congregation to participate in as well. So I invite you to participate. Yes, Eason is going to get baptized. That's right. Brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift without price. Today before us, we have Eason Edward Breck Alley to be presented for baptism. And Justin and Mindy, I ask you on behalf of the church, excuse me, I ask you on behalf of the church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture Eason in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. I tell you what, you've got good big sisters, don't you? To the congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, I do. We do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this young boy now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him, child, with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in prayer. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity we have to remember how you indeed are always with us, how you are always reaching out for us, even when we don't know you quite yet. We give you thanks for these parents before us, for Justin and for Mindy. We ask that your spirit would rest upon them, that they might serve you faithfully, that as Eason grows, that he might come to know who you are. O Lord, we also give you thanks for this water. We ask, Lord, that by your Spirit you would anoint this water, that it may communicate your grace and your mercy. That by your Spirit, that just as your Spirit hovered over the dark and chaotic waters in creation, your Spirit also anoints us and calms our fears, that we might serve you more faithfully. So be with us in this time, that your waters, that your Spirit would indeed be upon us. In Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Eason, are you ready? Say, I'm a wide awake this morning. I am. What name do you give this child? Eason Edward Breck. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters of the household of faith, it is my joy to welcome Eason Edward Breck into the community of faith. Would you welcome him by responding accordingly? Eason is now a part of our family, and we have responsibility to take care and to nurture Eason, to help Mindy and Justin as they raise their third child, that he too may become a faithful disciple. God is indeed gracious and kind. Amen.
Again, we are so glad that you're here this morning. We want to take just a minute to stand, turn around, shake somebody's hand, let them know that you're glad that they're here.
As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. Defender of the weak, you comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Our God, you reign. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Man, okay, you guys can have a seat. Sing along with us. Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Hey, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
My one defense.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Amen.
All right, good morning. Do I have any friends this morning? All right. How is everybody this morning? Okay. So you see my bucket of water. That is correct. Okay. We are going to play games this morning. Are you ready? Each of y'all are going to go swimming in the bucket. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Okay. I have a few items, and I want you to tell me if you think that they are going to sink or float. Are you ready? You think it's going to sink? Okay. Float? Okay, here we go. Oh, floats. Okay, here we go. The next one? Sink or float? Oh, yeah, sink. Okay, so we're one and one, right? Here we go. Float. Let's see. Oh, you got to get it in the bucket. Floats. Okay, I've got one more item. You ready? Sink or float? Okay, so we have three that float and one that sinks, correct? Okay, well, so, when we go swimming, we're either a sinker or a floater, aren't we? Because some of us can't float, can we? Okay, so we're not going to find out if everybody is a sinker or a floater. But today, in our scripture passage that Reverend Kilborn is going to talk about, he's going to be talking about the story about Jesus and Peter. Okay, so what happens is that they are out. Jesus is done talking to the people, and he sends him and some of the disciples out onto the water, onto the lake. Okay, and what happens is that Jesus starts coming toward them on the water. And you know what happens? Peter gets so excited that he starts to go out into the water, and he's actually going toward Jesus. But do you know what happens? He sinks, because you know what? He lost focus. He was out there, and he was doing great. He saw Jesus, and he's like, oh, man, I'm going toward Jesus, and he was so excited. But then he got scared, and he sank. So you know what? You know what happens? Is that when we have those troubles in life, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. We need to be a floater, not a sinker. Okay, so that when we're in trouble or we get upset or we need help, we need to keep our focus. Because what happens is that if we keep lose our focus, what's going to happen? We're going to sink like Peter did. That's right. He didn't die. He didn't die. He just sunk. He just got wet. Jesus did reach out and grab him. Thank you, Nathan. He did. He did, and he took hold of him. Because you know what? Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. He got excited, and he got out of the boat because he wanted to see Jesus. So let's remember that, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weekend that you have created for us. Let us remember to keep our focus on you, to keep our faith in you, and that will keep us afloat. We just ask that you be with us this week and bring us back safely next week. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're going to Kids Club, we're in the back.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, I want to draw to your attention those names who are listed on the back of our bulletin to remember those who are in need of our prayers, who are in need of God's Spirit to work. We also want to remember the family of Ruby Gardner, who passed away, who was a member of our congregation, to keep her family in your prayers and to send love and sympathy to them. So let us go to God in prayer. Holy and loving God, we have gathered here on this day because of you, because your grace has reached out to us in many and mighty ways. At times we may have felt like we were sinking, and yet your hand reached out and pulled us out of the water. And we have come here today to give you thanks because of your mighty works and your mighty deeds. For your grace and for your love that has reached out to us and given us a firm place to stand. And so we come to say today that we love you, that we are thankful for your grace, and that we want to be with you as often as we can. We want to give ourselves wholeheartedly to you. O Lord, empower us by your Spirit that we indeed might be faithful to our desire, to love you. Empower us by your Spirit to help us be the disciples you call us to be. Today, indeed, we have witnessed how your grace has reached out through the waters of baptism. We have heard through our children that your grace is always there for us, reaching out to us even when we doubt and when we have fear. So empower us by your Spirit to be your people in this world, to reach out to those who may be sinking around us, whose doubts and fears and brokenness prevent them from seeing and recognizing you. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world, that others might see and know of your great love. Oh God, we give you thanks. Thanks that not only do you forgive us of our sins, but you also empower us to be different. That you transform our hearts, that you mold us, and that you make us into the people you call us to be, the people you desire us to be. So reform our hearts and our minds that we might serve you faithfully in this world. We pray these things in the name of your Son who lived and died and rose again that we might know what the power of your love looks like. And so we pray these in his name as we pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward this morning, we have opportunity to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us. Let us give with thankful and joyful hearts, for God's grace is always constant and abiding.
Simon Peter, won't you put those nets down? Follow me, I'll lead you out of this town to a place where nobody's ever been. I will make you a fisher of men. Jesus walked out on the water, said, take courage, it is me. Peter trusted and he wanted to go farther, so he stepped out on the sea. Yeah, he stepped out onto the sea. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. If I keep my eyes on him, I can walk on water. You can put your hands together if you want. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. Oh, yeah. If I keep my eyes on him, I can walk on water. Just like Peter, I want to go farther, tread on the sea and walk on the water. Step where he steps and go where it goes, side by side where the sea billows roll. Well, I'll be all right when the wind comes. Oh, I'll be all right when the waves crash down. No, I'm not afraid. No, no, for this is my Father's world. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. Oh, yeah. If I keep my eyes on him, I can walk on water. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. Oh, yeah. If I keep my eyes on him, I can walk on water. Walk on water. Walk on water. Walk on water. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. Amen.
When Daniel and I were meeting about worship this week, we were joking around. I was like, you remember that song from the early 90s about Jesus walking or Peter walking on water? That would be great. And lo and behold, this morning, what do we have? We have the song from the early 90s of Peter walking on water. It makes you feel kind of, that was in the early 90s? Oh, man. Takes you back a little bit, though. We want to welcome you if you are a guest. That one went over well, didn't it? We want to welcome you if you're a guest this morning. We are glad that you're here worshiping with us as we continue to listen for God's voice, as we continue to discern the grace of God. We have opportunity to encounter the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 22 through 33, the story of Jesus walking on the water. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Hear these words. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against the disciples. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water." And Jesus said to him, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity that we have to worship you, to sing of our love for you, and to be in your presence. We give you thanks even more that you give us all that we need, that we might love you and serve you. O Lord, in this time we give you thanks for your word, and we ask that your word would indeed be implanted in our hearts, that it might grow and bear much fruit, that we might be your faithful disciples in this world. O God, allow my words to be your words, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were going somewhere but never getting there? Have you ever felt like you were spinning your wheels but always seemed to be in the same spot over and over again? I remember when I was in college, my roommate and I decided that we would go on a kayaking adventure, that we would go fishing one day and go kayaking. And at the time, I didn't have a kayak. I had never been kayaking, but I said, "Sure, I'll go fishing with you." And if you had a boat, and luckily he had an extra boat, and so we decided we would go out on the North Fork of the Holston River in Virginia and fish the river. So our plan was that we would go put in where we parked our truck and then paddle upstream and then float back down and fish all day long. Well, we underestimated how fast the river was that day. So we put our boats in the water, and first time I ever got in a kayak, put our boats in the water. It was quite the adventure to see. Luckily, there's no video to see this happening. But we got in, and we began to paddle upstream. 20 minutes later, we had only gotten 200 yards upstream. We were wearing ourselves out, floating upstream, trying to paddle against this current. Every time that we would get exhausted, we would pick our paddles out of the water, and before we knew it, we had floated another 50 yards downriver. Eventually, we actually went beyond the truck. We had to pull our boats out of the water and walk the rest of the way to finish for the day. We didn't catch any fish that day at all. But have you ever felt like you were just spinning your wheels, stuck in the same place, not moving at all? The disciples certainly had that feeling. They had been on the water all night long. They were trying to get to the other side of the shore. Jesus had commanded them, go ahead of me, go on. I'm going to dismiss the crowds. I'm going to stay here a while and pray. But you all go on ahead of me. And yet, the disciples set out on the Sea of Galilee to get to the other side, and they can't quite make it. The winds are against them, our scripture passage tells us. They're not moving forward. They are stuck where they are. To give you a little perspective, the Sea of Galilee is only about 8 miles wide at its widest point. It would take maybe 3-4 hours at most to get to the other side if you were paddling across the Sea of Galilee. If the wind was with you, you could probably do it in under that time. And yet Matthew tells us that the disciples are going across the sea and they can't get there because the wind and the waves are too strong. Their boat is being battered by the waves and they are prevented from going anywhere. They launch off just as Jesus commands them. They go wholeheartedly out into the middle of the sea just as Jesus desired. Jesus would come back later with them. And yet they can't make it across the sea. Tired, exhausted, most likely, from the relentless wind that was pushing their boat further and further away from their intended trajectory. They see someone or something, so it appears, walking on the water. This is actual footage here of Jesus walking on the water. But they see the form of a human being walking on the water. And you can imagine this is happening at daybreak. They have been out in the boat all night long struggling to get to the other side, beaten by the winds and the waves. And they see the form of a man walking on the water. They're terrified. This is out of the ordinary. This is out of normal experience. Tired from being up all night long, they think the only normal thing that it could be, it certainly cannot be a human being. It must be a ghost. It is so out of the ordinary to see some person walking on the water. They try to turn their world back to normalcy. Back to the way that they have always understood it, even if it means that ghosts appear on the water. The sun rising, the mist coming up off the sea, and they see this human or ghost, and they are terrified. Their exhaustion, their stress of trying to get to the other side prevent them from recognizing Jesus. They want their world to turn back to the way that it has always been. Their gaze had become diverted. Their attention diverted toward the wind and the waves. And they could not recognize Jesus. Have you ever been in that place before? Where you're so focused on something else. The anxieties of life and the waves of stress take over. And they prevent you from recognizing where God's Spirit is moving in your life. Have you ever been so focused on something else that you fail to see the grace of God right in front of your eyes? Like the disciples early in the story, we set out with the greatest of intentions, right? To follow Christ, to follow His command. The disciples, after all, were just following Jesus' command to get to the other side of the lake. And we set off with the greatest intentions to keep our eyes focused on what God has commanded us. And yet the wind and the waves of life prevent us from seeing Jesus, from fulfilling the call, from moving forward, from being faithful. So we get caught up stressed out, and yet do not see Jesus. But did you notice what Jesus does walking on the water? Even though the disciples don't recognize them, even though they have spent all night long fighting the winds and the waves, and he probably knows that this is way out of the ordinary for them, and even though they don't recognize him as Jesus and they are terrified, Jesus calls out to them, "Take heart. Do not be afraid, for it is I." Even though these disciples are so caught up in the stress of the moment, Jesus reaches out to them. In their fear and in their worry and in their anxiety, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." We certainly come to recognize in our scripture lesson today that it is God's constant, abiding presence in our lives, which both calms our fears and keeps us from being taken over by the winds and the waves of life. It is God's constant, abiding presence which says to us, even when we can't recognize Jesus standing right in front of us, and we are terrified at the storms and at the wind and the waves that are about to overtake us, it is Jesus who still says to us, though we falter, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter is certainly case in point of this, is he not? For there he is, standing in the boat. And Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter, just like the disciples began on the shore, was very eager to go and to be with Jesus. So eager, he says, "Jesus, if it is you, then call me out of the boat and let me walk on water so that I might be with you." And Jesus says, "Come. Come and join me out on the water." In the children's sermon this morning, in the early service, it was funny. One of our members was doing the message, and she said, "What do you think made Peter get out of the boat?" And she was looking for an answer like faith or trust or hope to get with Jesus. And one of the kids said, "His feet." Peter's eager feet. His eager faith wants to walk on water. And so he jumps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water, but then he begins to sink. But why does he begin to sink? He begins to sink because he becomes frightened and fearful of the winds that are coming toward him. His gaze becomes diverted by those things, and he becomes afraid. And because he becomes afraid, he begins to sink. He was already walking on water. He was already doing what he thought that only Jesus could do, and yet Jesus was empowering him to do the impossible. And yet, because he became afraid, because he became fearful, he begins to sink. You know, throughout Peter's life, his fear kind of controls him, does it not? In this instance, he begins to sink in the water because he becomes fearful of the strong winds. And when you think about Peter later on in the gospel, he begins to sink out of fear for his own safety. Jesus says to him, "You'll deny me 3 times." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I would never do that." And yet at Jesus' trial, for fear of his own safety, for fear of his own life, Peter is asked 3 times, do you know this one? Do you know Jesus? No, I don't know this Jesus. Peter's fear prevents him from moving forward, prevents him from walking completely on the water. Even though Jesus has given him all the grace that he needs to follow him, His fear prevents him, diverts his attention, keeps him from moving forward. The disciples, Jesus, there, waiting, hoping, fearful, all scared because of what seems like an imminent threat to their safety. The disciples, exhausted from stress. Peter, fearful of the imminent, unable to recognize Jesus, unable to trust Jesus, unable to give themselves wholeheartedly to Jesus because of that which is standing right in front of them. And yet, Jesus still calls out to disciples, "Do not be afraid. It is me." And he still reaches out to Peter when he is sinking and grabs him by the arm and pulls him up out of the water. Even though the disciples are distracted, and even though Peter, his attention is diverted and keeps him from trusting in the Lord, Jesus remains faithful. Even when he is sinking in the water, Jesus reaches out to Peter and grabs him by the arm and pulls him up. Even when we fail to trust the Lord's plans, when we fail to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, God remains constant and abiding, always there, always there. You probably remember as a kid taking swimming lessons for the first time, where you would probably go out to the pool with a parent or an instructor or a friend, probably, hopefully not a friend, I guess, but you would go out to the pool, and if you were like me, your dad or your mom would tread out into the water, and they would say, "Jump in, I'll catch you." And if you were like me, that first jump was probably pretty awkward, for you would probably stand there, knees shaking, and you would try to jump in the water. But as you jumped, if you were like me, you would turn around and you would reach for the side of the pool, because you knew that pool was always going to be there. That side of the pool was always going to be there. You weren't quite sure if your dad could hold you up in the water. And you would turn around and you would reach for and reach back, hoping to grab the pool. Fall down in the water, and then you would feel your dad's hand underneath you. You'd pop your head up out of the water. And he would begin to scold you. "Don't ever do that again. Are you crazy? You could hurt yourself. You could hit your head on the side of the pool if you were to reach back for the edge. Don't ever do that again. Now try it again." So the second time would come around. Jump. Again, kind of reach back. Again, your dad's arm, your mom's arm, grab you and pull your head above the water. Don't reach back again. Jump in wholeheartedly. Try again. Son, try again. Daughter, try again. Do it one more time for me. Do it one more time for me. And again and again and again. You would learn to trust the one who was there for you. You see, faith comes in that those whom we trust in are reliable. They will always catch us, no matter what. Grace comes in their constant and abiding presence. That when you jump in wholeheartedly, there they will be to catch you. And even if you go in half-heartedly, though they may scold you and say, don't you ever do that again, try again, try again, try again. We must learn to trust, and yet we can trust because the one who is there saying, jump in, is reliable, trustworthy, always there. You see, Jesus has proven himself to be reliable time after time after time. And though often we get distracted by the stressors of life, though our worlds get turned upside down by those imminent threats, by those things that might indeed change the way we think about the world and the way that we operate our lives, we don't have to put our trust in those things. Rather, we can trust the one who is always there, who is faithful to catch us, who will give us a firm place to stand. His name is Jesus, and we can trust him. One commentator once said that if the church is always the church, if the church is the church, if a Christian is always a Christian, they will always find themselves away from shore. They will always find themselves in the midst of turbulent wind and in the midst of turbulent waves. Because this is what it means to be the church. To be there out in the world where things are uncertain. And yet to be a light or be a sign pointing to the one who is trustworthy. That those may find the love of God and remain faithful. So in the midst of the wind and the waves, remain trustworthy. For God has proven himself even in the midst of uncertainty. Thanks be to God. Amen. As our worship band comes forward and leads us in our final song of worship, I invite you today, if you need to take time and spend it in the presence of God, our prayer rails are open, and we would be grateful to pray with you if you need it. Simply cup your hands, and we will gladly pray with you. Also, if you desire to make a profession of faith and you want to trust the one who indeed is always there, then we invite you to come forward at this time to make that profession. Let us be standing and joined together in our song of praise.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. In the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's just lift our voices up.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
If you'd be seated for just a moment. One of the important things of being a Christian is to always launching out, to doing things that may be uncomfortable, that may be scary, that may be uncertain. And yet God calls us to be faithful and to continue in His service. And today we have three individuals who are going on Ozark Mission Project. Our youth group is going at a later time, and yet they feel God's call to continue to serve, and they're not able to go when the group can go, and yet they still want to serve. And so they are going by their own as independently to go and to serve. And so today we want to pray for them as they launch off into this week-long opportunity for to serve those who are the least fortunate in our community. So if they would come forward, we'll pray for them. If you will join with me in prayer, and any of those who would like to come forward to lay their hands on them, we would invite you to do that also. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunity that we have to be your people in this world, for the opportunity that we have to serve you among the least of these. Oh Lord, we ask that your Spirit would rest upon those who are gathered here, that as they go forth from this place, as they go to serve you in this world, your Spirit would rest upon them, that they would have a peace and comfort, that they would know that they are doing your work in the world. Oh Lord, empower them to see your Spirit out ahead of them. Though this week may be trying at times, we ask that you would always remain faithful unto them, and they faithful to you. Anoint them by your Spirit, we pray, as they go. In Christ's holy name, amen. Let us be standing together for our benediction. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may you go forth from this place empowered by the Spirit. Though the wind and the waves may divert your attention, may you always know that Jesus is with you. Go in peace. Amen.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah.